What a privilege it is today to be able to have a special speaker with us. But I want to begin by just talking about the relationship that we have with New England Bible College. I'm so thankful for Rick Francis. It wasn't long ago when Rick called and he said, "Hey, Keith, we have an opportunity to have David Olford here to speak to your people on Sunday morning. Would you like to do it?" And the answer was, well, duh. I mean, yes, absolutely. And David is a professor of preaching at Union Seminary, and he is a man of God. You are going to be blessed by his message today. Let's welcome David Olford to First Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much, Keith. Just a privilege to be here, and to be here not only with Dr. Rick Francis, but also with Reverend Paul Harper, who's part of our team that comes from Memphis, Tennessee. Actually, Paul lives in the Atlanta area, but I live in Memphis, where there's a Stephen Olford Center for Biblical Preaching, and I'm a part of that ministry. It's a very humbling thing to be a part of a ministry that focuses on preaching and then to have to preach. But it's a more humbling thing to do it before our God, because we want to be faithful every time we preach, and everything that we do in life, we want to be faithful. Yesterday was my birthday, and you don't need to sing, but it was my birthday, and so I thought I'd just say a couple of personal things. I have a wonderful wife, Ellen, who actually directs the women's ministry at my home church, which is Central Church, which is in Collierville, just outside of Memphis. And I was thinking, as Meredith Kerr was sharing, two of the ladies in our church direct the National Day of Prayer in our area, in the greater Memphis area and in the county, and I hope that you'll take part in that. We need prayer. Our nation needs prayer, and we need revival in the Church of Jesus Christ, and we need a nation that exalts righteousness, and it's not going to come about unless we pray. And I think sometimes the Lord waits on us to seek His face in prayer. And this is a great opportunity that you have on Thursday. So I'm excited that you're a part of that. But I have a wonderful wife, Ellen, and two daughters, Lindsay and Stephanie, 24 and 20. And they're just a lot of fun. And one has finished university and is living at home. She's working in the area. And the other is still at university having a great time. As a matter of fact, occasionally I ask her if she has opened a book or two. But actually, she's doing well and enjoying that. But I'm here to share the Word of God with you today. And we're going to a familiar part of the Scriptures, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is probably the best known text in the book of Proverbs. I'd like to read the scripture and then pray, and then we're going to be looking at the theme of trusting God, trusting in the Lord, which is really the wise way to live. The book of Proverbs is about wise living, the right way to live, the way to negotiate the difficulties of life, and how to live in a fallen world. And there's incredible practical teaching in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to be looking at verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3 especially. But I want to read, first of all, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And then we'll turn to chapter 3. And after that, we'll pray and we'll dive in. But thank you again, Pastor Keith, for that welcome. And we want to look at God's Word together. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 in the New International Version reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Here's probably the key verse for the wisdom literature. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, if you'll turn over to chapter 3 and verse 1. And some of what I'm sharing today, I learned from my father. And Proverbs is very much the idea of a father teaching his son or parental advice to children. And chapter 3 and verse 1 begins, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." And then the verses we're familiar with, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Let's see if we can read together Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Particularly if you have the New International Version, let's read this together. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our God, we do come to you today in the name of our Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in our midst. And Lord, we ask that today that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you for it. We know it is living and powerful. We know, Lord, that your word teaches us the way of salvation and the way to grow in grace and in your knowledge. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you are a God of the word. You're a God who has revealed himself. We thank you today, Lord, that you're a God of wisdom, that what you've revealed is right, and it guides us and it directs us. And Lord, in these days when there are so many voices and so many opinions and so much concern and so much tension and so much anger in our world, Lord, we look to you to be the one who leads us and guides us and directs us. Lord, we're looking to you. We need you. We desperately need you. Lord, we long to grow closer to you. We want to have a relationship with you that is based on trust. A trust, Lord, that is solid, a trust that is real. And Lord, I pray that as we look at these words, that your Holy Spirit will use them in our lives, that we will grow in this matter of trust. That, Lord, it won't just be a nod of the head and just a passing thought about you every once in a while, but that our lives will be filled with faith. You once said, when you come back, will you find faith on the earth? And Lord, faith is struggling these days, and we pray that you would strengthen our trust in you during these moments together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Two little quotes I found on the internet. It is good for something. A relationship without trust is like a car without gas. You can stay in it all you want, but you won't go anywhere. A lot of truth to that. You think of that in our human relationships. If it's not characterized by trust, if we don't have trust in human relationships, we don't get very far. Then one that says it a little bit stronger, a relationship with no trust is like a cell phone with no service. All you can do is play games. There's a lot of truth to that too. And I guess the burden that's on my heart this morning for preaching is that in our relationship with God, that we would be going somewhere, that would be growing, that our relationship with the Lord would be deepening, it would be real, and it would be growing. And maybe at a harsher and stronger level, that we'd make sure that we're not playing games with God, that we're not going through the motions and tipping our hat to God in some type of religious way, rather than a deep-seated confidence in who God is and what He has done for us, and the fact that He's still in control. He's still in control in this world that so often seems out of control. I was in Japan back in February. We have a ministry in a lot of different places. And I remember watching on the news, they were counting out the 10 most likely ways, according to people, that this world will come to an end. You know, they had the pandemic, the disease that would spread across the world. They had nuclear disaster. I thought, what a great way to start the morning. You know, you turn on the news, here are the 10 ways that people think the world is going to end. But you know, God is in control. He's in control. And that didn't bother me much, but I thought, wow, that was something. And in the Japanese culture, they've dealt with so many things. The tsunami just a few years ago, you can understand why they might have that way of thinking. But I want us to look at this matter of trust. And trusting the Lord is actually the wise way to live. That's what the book of Proverbs is about. It's about wise living. And I have a family. I just gave you the name of my wife and my two daughters. And if you're like me, there's all sorts of decisions that you have to make day in and day out. Not only daily decisions, but there's financial decisions, there's work-related decisions. My daughters are at this point where they're really thinking through, you know, where is the Lord going to take them? What's the next step in life? Where does God want them to go? One of the greatest things that can happen is that we have a deep-seated trust in the Lord. For all of these issues of life, because we all have them. As a matter of fact, when I was thinking about this message, I was thinking this message is only relevant to you if you're living. And I'm trusting that you are here today, that you're alive. And you want to live to the glory of God, and you want to live wisely. And right in the middle of it is this verse, and these two verses: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And I remember my father preaching on this, and I've picked up on a lot of what he said on this passage of Scripture. But let me begin by saying that trusting the Lord involves making a definite decision. That's the first truth from this text I want us to see. Trusting in the Lord involves making a definite decision. It's a directive to us. Trust in the Lord. What does that mean? It means to depend upon, to rely upon, to, as it were, roll our lives onto the Lord. To depend upon Him. And of course, initially, for the believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, that involves trusting in the work that He's done for us at Calvary, and the resurrection, and the ascension, and the fact that He's coming again, that we have a living Savior, and that we know that He went to that cross to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sins. He rose victoriously. He's ascended on high. And He is the risen Savior, the living Savior. And He has made a way of salvation for us. And we enter into that through turning from sin and self, repentance, and trusting Him. And it's a definite act. Trust, trust, trust in the Lord. But here, I think the writer is speaking in terms of a lifestyle. And he's talking about trusting the Lord in the midst of life, as a way of life, as a wise way to live. And I'd like to illustrate it by giving you a biblical example of what I think this kind of trust is all about. Do you remember the account of the raising of Lazarus? It's an awesome account, and it's all about faith, because Jesus is trying to build the faith of His disciples. And do you remember that Lazarus died and he's already been in the grave or in the tomb for about 4 days? And Jesus meets with Martha outside of the setting there alone. And tells her that he's the resurrection and the life. And Martha says, oh, I believe that you are the Son of God. She has a wonderful doctrinal statement when she's alone with Jesus. It's almost like she's in church and she's worshiping Jesus, and she affirms her faith in a very solid kind of way. And then Jesus goes to the grave. Do you remember that? He goes to the grave and he says to roll away the stone. But Martha says, wait a second, Lord. Wait a second, Lord. You see, he's been in there 4 days, and the odor is not going to be very pleasant. And Jesus had to look back at Martha and say, did I not say to you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? You see, it's one thing to trust the Lord when we're sort of alone with him and we're focused on him and we're having that conversation with him and we maybe even know the right words. But when you've got the difficult situation and you're looking at the circumstances and you're thinking, this doesn't look good. And maybe the Lord won't pull through. Maybe he's not quite sure of what he's doing. I mean, think about her saying, Lord, I don't know about this. I mean, he just said, roll away the stone. So she was questioning whether the Lord really knew what he was up to at that point. And it's this kind of need for trust that I'm talking about today. Trusting the Lord when we're in the middle of a difficult situation. And if I was to ask somebody to raise hands today, are you in the midst of a difficult situation? I imagine a few of us would say, yes, that's me. And what I'm encouraging today on the basis of God's word is that the Lord is trustworthy. You can trust him. You can hold on to him. He knows what he's doing. And that's a critical part of our spiritual life. So what does it mean? It means to rely upon the Lord, to trust him. And notice in this passage, it's trust in the Lord. That's Yahweh. That's the one who revealed himself to God's people. The one who showed himself through his mighty acts. The one who redeemed Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness and into the promised land. This is the one who had cared for his people. The one who had given them promises and fulfilled them. This isn't some sort of blind faith. This is the God who has shown himself strong. This is the God who has loved his people. The God who has redeemed his people, cared for his people. This is the one true God who's shown himself in terms of his character and his actions, his power, his involvement in the details of life. It's that Lord that you are to trust in. The writer to the Proverbs is saying, trust in the Lord, not other gods, not other human alliances. God is the one who has proved himself trustworthy. As our brother was saying as we began, you look around and you know that human voices will fail, but God doesn't. And we need to trust him for that. Why the Lord? Because of who he is, the God of creation, the God of redemption, the God of covenant, the God who is able, the God who never fails. I saw it on the front of your church. Jesus never fails. And folks, we have to hold on to that. There are times when life crushes you and you are down, and yet you just hold on and you say, Jesus, you do not fail. And I'm holding on. I'm holding on. Regardless of what the circumstances are. And one of the problems we have in America is that we have a religion of self. And we learn to trust ourselves. Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. And we have to watch out for just looking to ourselves to try to have all the resources. Oh yeah, we're to carry our own load. God's given us abilities and gifts. But here the call is to trust in the Lord. And notice he says, with all your heart. He's not talking about the physical organ. That means the inner being, the deepest part of you, that part of you that makes decisions, that part of you that is the real you. Matter of fact, a little further on in chapter 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. This chapter begins, "My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commandments in your heart." The heart is the center of who we are. And he's saying that's the kind of trust, all your heart, not other gods, not other alliances, but with all your heart, you are to trust the Lord. I like to illustrate it this way, and it's appropriate, I think, as I was just talking about my wife, Ellen. When I proposed to Ellen, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing it this way, but it's the way I did it, I found a place in a park where I wanted to propose to her. Yeah, I was a little, little old, trying to be romantic, But anyway, we went to this place in the park, and we were walking along, and we stopped. And that's right where I proposed to her. And it was a place where the road split into two directions. And I know this might sound corny, but as we were getting falling in love and seeing God's hand in the midst of this relationship, I was realizing we were both getting on in years. I was 28 or 29 at that time. And I just said to her there that, I wanted to share life with her. And, we needed to make a decision because otherwise we'd be going in two separate directions. And so I made a decision that we were going to do life together, that we were going to walk the same path, and that she is now the one that I am going to be connected with. In other words, that was the choice we had to make, whether we're going to walk separately or whether we're going to go together in one direction. And God mercifully had her say yes, and so we've been walking together ever since. But it was a definite decision. It was a decision that had to be made. It's you and only you. It's you that I'm marrying, and we're going together, and we're not going separate, and I'm not going in another direction. I'm going with you with all my heart. And that, I believe, is what the writer is saying here in terms of our trust. In other words, it's a definite decision that we need to make. It comes from the heart. And he says, and lean not on your own understanding. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't think. Matter of fact, it doesn't even mean that we don't seek counsel, because Proverbs teaches that. But it means, I believe, that we should not be, as he says in verse 7, if you want to look at the text again, do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, you're not depending upon your limited understanding of things. God has a bigger picture. He sees it all. And we need to seek him, not like Israel in Joshua chapter 9. I don't know if you remember when Israel went into the promised land and they were conquering various nations. But there was one nation that tricked them. Do you remember that? May not be the first thing that was on your mind when you woke up this morning, but the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were the people, and they tricked Israel. And they act like they were coming from a far place, and they put on old clothes because they wanted to make an alliance with God's people. And that's what God had said not to do. And it says very specifically in God's word that Israel did not seek counsel from the Lord. Because of that, they were tricked. They were fooled. And they entered into a relationship that would hurt them. I think that's what this passage is saying. Lean not on your own understanding. In other words, don't just try to think it through by yourself. You need to ask the Lord. You need to seek the Lord. You need to go to his word. He's the God who has revealed himself and his will in the word of God. But we need to rely upon him in terms of his word to our hearts. So it's a definite decision. And I wonder if today you may be right in the midst of something. You may be needing to come to Christ for salvation and trusting him for that relationship, to have a right relationship. But I imagine here this morning, most of us are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's an issue in your life and you need to reaffirm that trust. You need to make a decision here today. I've got a difficult decision. I've been worrying about it. I've been anxious about it. I've been going all over the place trying to get information. But you know what? I need to just trust the Lord. I need to roll that on the Lord today. I need to give that to Him. I need to say, Lord, You are my God. You love me. You've shown Yourself strong to me. You're the saving God, the redeeming God, the loving God, the covenant God. I'm going to trust You with this situation. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend, don't lean on your own understanding. So trust involves a definite decision. Secondly, it involves devotion. It involves a dynamic devotion that flows out. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's a great, great statement. There's a lot packed into that. We won't spend a lot of time on that. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. I have in my briefcase, I just noticed it, a pie chart. I'm not talking about a pizza. It's a pie chart, which has different aspects. Very often for budgets and finances and various studies that are done, a pie chart will be used. You know what I mean by a pie chart? It's usually round, right? And it's broken up into different parts, showing percentages of whatever it is that you're looking at. I want you to think about your life right now as a pie chart. I'm sorry, I know it's not reduced to that, but just think of your life that way. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Think of your life as a pie chart. And up here, you have your personal life, things you like to do on your own walk with God, so forth. Then next to it, maybe, is your marriage. And then you move a little board, it's your children. Then there's your church life, your work life, your recreational life, your hobbies, your involvement in the community, your relationships, and so forth. Our life is made up of many things, isn't it? Well, this passage says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, the whole pie, everything, in all your ways, in all of your activities, in your business life, in your relationships, in your recreational activities, in the various things that you do, you're to acknowledge, which means to honor the Lord. He says a little bit later on, fear the Lord, depart from evil. In other words, in all of your ways, you're seeking to do what God wants you to do and not something that is against His will. In that relationship that's forming, and you're seeking to have a relationship with someone, you need to acknowledge Him in the center of that. And that business decision that you have, is the Lord in the middle of that? Or are you thinking just in human terms? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, a life of trust will express itself in a life of dynamic devotion to the Lord. And one of the challenges of this passage of Scripture to us is that the nature of our spiritual life, that we're completely given to the Lord. The New Testament verse for this is really Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. You can't, the whole idea there is it's your total being. And that's our reasonable worship, our response, our authentic worship to who God is. And here's what He's saying, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So the challenge today is there part of that pie that is sort of out of touch with the Lord? Is there a part of that pie that you're saying, Lord, that's not really for You? Is there a part of that pie that you have not given to the Lord? And that is an evidence of lack of trust. Because if we trust the Lord, then our whole life will be given to Him. And we'll seek to acknowledge Him in all our ways. And that doesn't just mean witnessing, although that's true. It means honoring Him, reverencing Him, doing it His way in all our ways. This is the wise way to live, according to the book of Proverbs. And so trust involves making a definite decision. It also involves expressing this dynamic devotion in every area of our lives. And that's really what the Lord desires and deserves. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And so today, think it through. Think it through. Think about your life. Think about it. I'm asking the Holy Spirit right now, as I prayed about it, as I'm preaching to you right now, as you're listening to me, is there something there that needs to come under His sovereignty, under his control. Some area of life that I really have not been acknowledging him. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's been sort of mine. It's been mine. I've been holding on to that. I need to give that to you. Because in all my ways, I need to acknowledge you. But there's a wonderful blessing that's in this passage. And it's the third truth that I want us to see. Yes, a definite decision is needed. A dynamic devotion is deserved in terms of the Lord. But lastly, there's divine direction. Oh, I love this. Trusting in the Lord involves expecting divine direction. And he will make your paths straight. Can you say that with me out loud? And he will make your paths straight. He doesn't say you have to do that. He's going to do that. What does that mean? I don't think that means God's saying, hey, I'm going to give you an easy life. I don't think that's what it means. I think what he's saying is that God is going to remove the obstructions. He's going to enable you to live the wise life. He's going to enable you to live as you ought to live. He's going to enable you to have a life that is one characterized by righteousness, that's going in the right direction, that's doing the right thing, that's going to count for eternity ultimately. And he will make your paths straight. Notice the certainty of that. It's just stated that if you trust him, if you give it all to him, if you acknowledge him, he is going to be in control of your life. Let me throw out a few illustrations because I love this. I love this truth. And it's been important in my life. But I remember my father sharing a story. I grew up hearing many stories from his years in Angola. That's where my father grew up. And he was telling a story about going from one village to another through a very thick wooded area. And there was a guide that was directing my father and my grandfather, who was a missionary there, and the team to go through the woods. And it was so thick you could hardly see the sun. And they'd been going for quite a while. And my grandfather maybe made the mistake of questioning the guide and saying, do you really know where you're going through this wood? And the guide went over and showed Mark on the tree. And he said, I made this way. I know the way. And you see, God knows the way. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And God knows the way. And as New Testament believers, we have a Lord Jesus Christ who we can fix our eyes on, who has gone before us, and we can trust him. When I was in Japan, near where we do a seminar, there's a beautiful little footbridge that goes over a deep ravine with a flowing stream. And one morning I woke up and I walked out and saw this, and it was beautiful. And yet this footbridge is very narrow, and the ravine is very deep. And as I was going forward, I did think in my mind, this could be dangerous. And then I looked at that footbridge in the morning mist, and I saw footprints that were already on that bridge. And it reminded me that someone's already gone this way before. And now I'm translating this into New Testament truth. Because you see, our Lord Jesus has gone before us. And we're to fix our eyes on him. And as we trust him and we depend upon him, he is going to see us through. That's the nature of his leadership in our lives. Let me just wrap this up with another story. It's sort of a life parable that God has given me, something that happened in my own life. Years ago, I was a student in England, and over the summertime, I spent two summers in Germany trying to learn German, and it was quite an experience being there. But anyway, I was wanting to take a trip from one part of Germany down to Switzerland, a town called Basel, and I literally gave this to the Lord. I don't know why I was so prayerful about it, but I was. And I decided I was going to take this trip from Tübingen, Germany, down to Basel, Switzerland. And I was going to hitchhike, something I did on that occasion. I have never done it since. nor did I ever do it before, but I did it on that occasion. And I hitchhiked through the countryside, beautiful, beautiful scenery, and eventually arrived at the city right across the border from Basel, Switzerland. Got out of the last car I was given a ride in, and went to the bus, and lo and behold, it was going straight to Basel. And so I got to the Basel bus station and called my friend who I was visiting, and his wife and children, and he said, oh, there's sickness in the family. I can't come to you, but why don't you, just take a couple of trams and walk up a certain street, and you'll find my house. And he explained on the phone, that I was to go out the door and get on such and such a tram that was there and get off at one place and get on another tram and get off there and then walk up such a street and arrive at his house. And I specifically remember after getting off the phone, I don't know what I'm doing. It just didn't totally compute, but I said, well, maybe I know more or less, what he said. So I went out of the bus station. And I'm reaching around for money, and I go and I try to put some money in this machine to get the ticket for the tram, and then I realize I have German money, and I'm in Switzerland. And so it's like, oh, the first major problem on this trip. And right then, when I'm doing that, a voice behind me says, are you having a problem? And I turned around. I was single at the time, and it was a lady standing there, and I said, well, I don't have the right money for this machine. And I promise you, the next words she said are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I am. And I said, why, how do you know, or why do you think I might be a Christian? She said, I see it in your face. Now, I promise you, I've been hitchhiking all day. And, I was a little frustrated, so I don't think it had a whole lot to do with, like, morning glory or something. I mean, I was not looking that good. She said, I see it in your face. And I said, she said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to see a friend here in Basel. And she said, what is his name? I said, his name is Frank. She said, yes, I know Frank. I'll take you there. And so, and she did. And that's what happened. I got on a tram with her. Got off, got on another tram with her, walked up the street, went to my friend Frank's house. She just said, good to see you, and she went on her way, and I arrived. Well, that was exciting. I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, that was pretty interesting. Well, just when I had run out of resources, God provided in a very special way. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because I believe the Lord was with me the whole time. And that's the way life works. In other words, God is with you when things are happening normally. Not a whole lot of spectacular things. There's a couple of nice cars I was in. But things are happening. God was with me when I got on the bus. And I had to pay a little money to get there. But God was also with me in providing a very unusual way. Even miraculous. Because Basel is a pretty good-sized city. And the one person that I was going to see in Basel, this lady happened to know, which was quite amazing. We have a wonderful God, and we need to trust our lives. And that sort of has become a parable for me because we are on a journey, and there's a lot of different facets. And sometimes life is very normal and routine. Sometimes it's costly. Other times, God comes through in ways that we never would have imagined. Amen? We do have a miracle-working God. We have a God of resurrection. We have a God who's powerful, a God who sees the end from the beginning, and He knows what we need. And somehow we've got to trust Him. And I think of lots of what's going on in our country right now with so much lack of trust and so much struggle. And yet somehow underneath it all, unless we learn to really trust the Lord, I don't think you're going to reach spiritual, emotional health like we saw put up on that screen, unless deep down underneath it, there's a level of trust that grows and grows. So as we close, I would really encourage you to do those things in your life that build trust. Be in the Word of God. seek his face in prayer, fellowship with those who share faith and encourage one another to hold on to the Lord, to seek him in the midst of crisis. Don't give up in terms of holding on to God. Trust him. Be wise. That's the right way. Trust him. And as we bow our heads in prayer, because I know we're at the end of our time, maybe that today some here need to trust the Lord because you know deep down in heart you don't even have a right relationship with him. And that's why Jesus came to die on a cross and was raised from the dead because the grave could not hold him. And it's as you recognize and say, yes, yes, I believe you are indeed Jesus, the Son of God, that you are alive and that you did that work on the cross for me. And I'm turning from all of that put you on the cross, sin and self, and trusting you for salvation. And if that's your prayer today, I would invite you to offer it to the Lord in genuine faith, and he will hear it and will save. Then for most of us here today, I don't know what you're going through. My wife has been involved in a funeral back in home over this weekend. We've had a number of serious events around our family and friends. And these are hard times. And people are facing all sorts of issues. Maybe today it'd be a good day just to say in your heart, and maybe on your knees, if God would so lead. I see the front of the church here, place to kneel. Maybe in some special way, there's some issue in your life, and you're saying, Lord, before you, and even before everyone, I'm just saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm giving this to do because you are trustworthy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You can trust him. You can trust him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, this is your word. We've sought to just look at it in terms of what it means. But Lord, we pray right now that it'll do something in our hearts. Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, your word will help us to be people of faith, faith that passes understanding. And even with a watching world that wonders sometimes, why do you believe in this God? Why do you trust this God so much? Lord, you've shown us so much. You've been so faithful. You've been so good to us. Lord, I pray that for those here today who, Lord, may be right in the midst of it, whether it's relational or financial or job-related, some issue that is deep on their heart, oh God, I pray that you would help us to be trusting people. And if we know people who are going through it, Lord, to come alongside and to say, remember, Jesus never fails. Lord, for those here that might not know you, we just pray that they may, indeed, as we close our time together, place their faith in you, Lord, and make that decision to trust. Lord Jesus, we trust you. To say, Lord, I want to trust you because I need salvation. I need to have your saving work applied to my life. Lord, I turn from my sin, myself. I turn to you. I thank you for what you did on the cross for me. I thank you for the resurrection. I thank you that you're a living Savior. I thank you that you're available. I thank you that you're adequate. I thank you that you are the one who has a living, vital relationship that you want to have with me. Pray that prayer. Pray, seek his face today. Lord, as we leave this place today, I pray that we will truly trust you, not just on Sunday, not just in church, but Lord, when that first bombshell hits, that first remembrance of something, Lord, that your word, your spirit will strengthen us to trust you with all our heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Keith to close in whatever way he chooses.
Let's stand together as we close. What a great reminder. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray for David and his ministry. We pray that he would use it mightily all over the world. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We would love for you to join us next Sunday. We are located at 360 Kanko Road in Portland, at the intersection of Kanko Road and Washington Avenue. If you would like to find out more about First Baptist, please call us at 773-3123 or visit our website at firstbaptistportland.org. May God bless you this week.